Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us on this holiday weekend. I know a lot of our younger families are away at Pilgrim Pines for a family weekend, but we look forward to being reunited next Sunday. But for those that are here, this is great. And so we have started a new series called Where Is It Written? And it's an opportunity for us to really examine how our relationship is with God's Word. How are we to properly understand it in not just for our lives, but in some of the very relevant issues of our day and in our culture? So we spent two Sundays beginning to unpack, based on Scott McKnight's book, Blue Parakeet, ways in which we, whether we've read through the Bible once cover to cover in our life or 50 times or never, that we do have particular lenses by which we not only view the world, but especially the way in which we view Scripture. And so we spent 2 weeks talking about some of the premises that comes from that book. And today we want to jump into our first topic. And if you've been following along, our first blue parakeet passage on marriage and divorce. And I really appreciate many of you that have reached out to me and said you're praying for me and just really encouraged me in, I think, a very heartfelt topic for all of us. And so this morning we're going to jump right in. And after sitting down and looking at some of the material and research, we're going to do this over two Sundays because there's just so much in here. I don't want to keep you for an hour and a half this morning. And at the same time, there's so much to say. And a foundation and laying a proper groundwork, foundation is really important. And so this sets up the stage for what we're going to really talk about for next week. So please keep that in mind. Don't leave today saying, well, that wasn't very clear, or what is Pastor trying to say, or how we, part one, part two. Okay, so that's going to be very important. Blue Parakeet passage, which is a passage that we come across in the Bible that we often capture attention. It shocks us. We're not sure how to interpret it. And sometimes we, as we've been challenged, often pick and choose different parts of the Scripture. And so this passage is probably one that, what do we do with this? And so thus we're starting here. Jesus' very words, Matthew 19, 3 through 9. And the Pharisees came to him and tested him by asking, is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause? He answered, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female and said, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. They said to him, why then did Moses command one to give a certificate of divorce and to send her away? He, Jesus, right, said to them, because of your hardness of heart, Moses allowed you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another, commits adultery. This is God's word. Few things, one pastor writes, are more painful than divorce. It cuts to the depths of personhood unlike any other relational gash. It is emotionally more heart-wrenching than the death of a spouse. Death is usually clean pain. Divorce is usually dirty pain. In other words, the enormous loss of a spouse in death is compounded in divorce by the ugliness of sin and moral outrage at being so wronged. The sense of failure and guilt and fear can torture the soul. Like the psalmist, night after night, a spouse falls asleep with tears. You can feel like you wear a big scarlet D on your chest. The loneliness is not like the loneliness of being a widow or a widower or a person who has never been married. It is in a class by itself. Pastor John Piper. And if you've experienced divorce in your life, either yourself directly or grew up in a family where divorce was your experience from your parents, you may or may not resonate with Pastor John's thoughts and reflections on divorce, but you probably resonate with some of it. Over the next 2 weeks, I am not going to try to do a comprehensive message on marriage or divorce, for I think it would take months to really work through that. So keep that in mind. And I am not trying to give a message of how to have a happy, healthy marriage. Though that would be great, that's not what I'm trying to accomplish here either over the next 2 weeks. I'm also not trying to have a debate on human sexuality and address the topic of same-sex marriage, though for our intents and purposes, we are embracing Jesus' words that marriage is between one man and one woman. And so that is this working assumption that we are going to the message with. And if that is not your position, I still invite you to come along with us because there's going to be a lot here that I believe will be very relevant and also very challenging. So I'm not trying to accomplish that either. But what I'm trying to do is, in light of this series that we're doing, Where Is It Written?, we are looking at various passages in Scripture that Dr. Scott McKnight calls blue parakeet passages that are like a flash of blue brilliance and disturbs us, confuses us, knocks us off kilter a little bit. We're not sure what to do with it, and begin to unpack it and study it. And so it's kind of like a Bible study that we're going to be doing together. So that's what we're trying to do as we read with what we talked about last Sunday in the lens of the great capital T tradition of what we call Christian orthodoxy, or what for the past 2,000 years the church has held as tenets to our faith. And so I hope that will bring a measure of healthy expectation of what we're trying to cover over these next two Sundays in this topic. It's really more of a beginning of a journey, and I hope that once again it will be helpful. As we're trying to understand our relationship to the Bible, and especially these blue parakeet passages that are very relevant to our lives and our culture and our times today, I want to start with the statement that the Bible was never meant to be a place where we find an exhaustive list of every possible conceivable situation and event and circumstances in our lives. The Bible is a book, and it's a pretty thick book, but it is a book, in a sense, that has been written, has been given to us, and it doesn't have things there that address everything in our lives in detail. But we believe that there is a great story that is being revealed in the pages of Scripture. And we believe, as we talked about over the past 2 weeks, that there are biblical principles that can be gleaned, though this is an ancient book, into our very modern lives today. And so, whether that disturbs you or upsets you or makes sense, I want to begin there because that's really important for us to begin with. When we think about marriage and we think about divorce, we also have to begin in the Old Testament. Just as Jesus was asked this question, Jesus went back to the Scriptures, the law, the Torah, the Old Testament, and quoted that, and I think we would be wise to do the same. The Old Testament, as we will be looking in just a few minutes, in the ways in which it addresses marriage and divorce, we need to look at it. But as we look at it, we will also come to understand that there are many difficulties, even in the Old Testament, in terms of truly trying to understand what message it has for us today. Because even in the Old Testament, none of the texts discusses divorce and remarriage in a full, comprehensive way. And so those things are just really important to keep in mind as we begin our journey together over the next two Sundays. And so what does Old Testament really say about especially the topic of marriage, but divorce in particular? Well, Deuteronomy 22, verse 19 and 29, we find scripture that prohibits divorce in order to protect the wife. It prohibits it. But if we just look at that and say, see, it's against it, we would be amiss, because it's not just that. Because divorce was so widespread in ancient times as it is today, that God had to institute regulation, laws, guidance through Moses to uphold the sanctity of marriage, which God created, but also to protect especially the most vulnerable, in this case in ancient culture, women, when they were being divorced for no reason. Okay, so we start there. When we ask, where then do we find in the Old Testament specifically addressing divorce? It's really this passage that we need to look at. And we're going to actually take time to read it. Deuteronomy 24, 1 through 4. And I'll go ahead and read that. And if you have your Bibles, you can look it up as well. When a man takes a wife and marries her, if then she finds no favor in his eyes because he has found some indecency in her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce and puts it in her hand and sends her out of his house, and she departs out of his house, and if she goes and becomes another man's wife, and the latter man hates her and writes her a certificate of divorce and puts it in her hand and sends her out of his house, or if the latter man dies who took her to be his wife, verse 4, then her former husband who sent her away may not take her again to be his wife after she has been defiled, for that is an abomination before the Lord, and you shall not bring sin upon the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance. When you first come across this, I guess this could also be a blue parakeet passage as well, some may be really offended by this. It seems like it's really stacking the deck against women and those who find themselves in a situation of divorce. But we have to understand what exactly was going on here in ancient Israelite culture. And what is going on here is actually a protection for these women who were divorced. Because in this time and culture, when a man would marry a woman, he would acquire her dowry, money, wealth, whatever it might be. And the situation that's being addressed here is that if then either she marries someone else and that marriage doesn't work out, that that first husband would not be allowed to remarry her. It sounds like that's so cruel and mean, but it's because these guys were trying to double dip and get the dowry again. So it was actually a form of protection against these cruel men that wanted to double dip and get the dowry a second time. And so first reading this, you're like, man, this is terrible. It's everything that's stacked against women. No, it was actually a protection so that they would not be taken advantage and exploited. And so that's helpful as we begin to understand this passage, Deuteronomy 24, the only clear law specifically about divorce that has been designed to protect the most vulnerable, in this case, a woman who is a victim of divorce. And this person, this man, this scoundrel wants to remarry her in order to get her dowry a second time. And so that is what's going on here in this passage. So yes, we just talked about in Deuteronomy this passage, but also think about Deuteronomy 22, verses 19 and 20, and that prohibit divorce. At the same time, you cannot end there because we find throughout the Old Testament where God seems to allow, by his permission, divorce as well. And here's a whole bunch of verses. We're not going to look up every single one. And does that mean there's a contradiction in Scripture? No. We have to look at the totality of the Scriptures. And so whether it's in Exodus or Leviticus, the book of Numbers, Deuteronomy, the time of Ezra, Nehemiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, you can look up these passages where divorce was not just permitted, but was assumed to be part of Israelite life. And so it's very easy to kind of pick and choose an unhealthy way and say, see, the Bible prohibits it. Absolutely not. But then what do you do with these passages? Right? So you have to look comprehensively at it, where when you look up these passages, you see that divorce was actually permitted. And so we go to the smartest guy in the room, Klein Snodgrass. I know it's an interesting name. He is one of our covenant theologians, professors, pastors, and Bible teachers, and he says this is really helpful. The Old Testament teaching on divorce is surprisingly varied. It permits divorce to protect the wife. Clearly in these texts, as dangerous as it sounds, the underlying theology of caring for persons has precedence over marriage laws. They reflect the pain and grief of life and seek to regulate the level of injustice in an ancient society. Pretty well put, and something I didn't really think about before. And so for those that will turn to the Old Testament and say, see, it prohibits divorce, what do you do with all these passages that talk about it? And then here is theologian Klein Snodgrass that talks about this, and I think he's spot on. It is varied, and there's an underlying heartbeat behind the laws and this topic as God addresses it. You see such care and love for the most vulnerable. And so we'll pause there looking at the Old Testament, go on, but we'll pause there, and now with that very simple and basic journey to the Old Testament, for time's sake, let's get back to now our passage. Now, in the time of the first century, Jesus encountering these Pharisees and having this conversation. And verse 9 of our passage that we read to begin in Matthew 19 is really where we want to park ourselves between the rest of our time today and especially next week. And what do you do with this? Jesus says, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. Oh my. What do you do with that passage? What is Jesus saying? Is he being real? How could this be? And so this is where we're going to park ourselves between now. I'm going to touch upon it, and then we'll continue. And you cannot miss next week, because that's where we really get into the weeds and then eventually come out and see the bigger picture, what's happening here. We have to understand in verse 9 that this is a confrontation between Jesus and the Jewish teachers who were looking to entrap Jesus by asking him a very controversial and very, at the same time, heartfelt question regarding divorce and marriage. It was a debate. It was a situation of entrapment. And that is really, really important. And Jesus, before he answers them, and he actually answers it in a way that they're more upset because he didn't fall into that trap, but he goes back to the very beginning, and he begins to explain the sanctity of marriage and how it was God's original design, his creation, his desire and heartbeat for the flourishing of humanity and society and for his people. We find this passage, Matthew 19, this blue parakeet passage in Matthew 5:32. We also find it in Mark 10:11. In Luke 16:18, most likely, I believe, the same encounter and conversation, but written from a different perspective by the gospel writers. And so Jesus begins, and he talks about the original intention of marriage, that it's supposed to be a permanent union between a man and a woman to become one flesh. And his statement has to be understood with that creation plan in mind, the original intention. Therefore, if that is God's heart and design, this permanent union, and once it's broken, that is where Jesus' shocking statement begins to be understood. You see, during this time of Jesus' day, divorce was often done, quite frequently done, with the desire to remove one's wife so that a man could marry another. It was not even because of marital unfaithfulness, but a man fell in love with another woman, and because of the laws, the way they were written, he wanted to get rid of his first wife so he could marry another. This was the same problem that Moses was facing in Deuteronomy 24, that Ezra faced in Ezra 9 through 10, that we find in Nehemiah as well, and Malachi chapter 2, verses 10 through 17. And therefore, when God says God hates divorce, it has to be understood in that specific context. And it's not really that much different than us today. But that is really important to keep in mind as we follow this conversation and try to understand what Jesus is actually trying to say. He was attempting to recognize this entrapment by the teachers and their rabbinic perversion of Old Testament law of Deuteronomy 24, and trying to also lift up the sanctity of marriage and its original intention by God when he said this statement. So those things are really important to keep in mind. And this hermeneutical truth, let me put this up there, I found this so helpful from my studies. The hermeneutical implication of the fact that Jesus was facing entrapment are significant. He was not responding to our pastoral questions about divorce and remarriage. He did not respond to the question of the Pharisees in the way they wished. He both deflected the test by focusing on God's intention with marriage and gave a strong prohibition of divorce. So often when we come across these blue parakeet passages, we're trying to force it to answer questions and situations that it wasn't necessarily initially meant to answer. And so Jesus' shocking statement here in Matthew's gospel has to be understood in that kind of situation. Is that helpful to begin to try to understand what's going on here and why Jesus said the thing that he did? It was not meant to then just be lifted out and say, so how do we begin to understand all these life pastoral questions about divorce and remarriage? It provides a starting point, and therefore we begin to journey, starting from there, forward. That is critically important for us to keep in mind. And so with that background, can you see why I had to do this message in two parts? With that background, we're going to jump into what does he mean by committing adultery once you divorce someone and then there's remarriage involved. What is Jesus talking about? So we will begin to jump into that next Sunday. But I hope that as we prepare to jump into that, that this will lay a foundation by which we can begin to understand. So please don't leave away, I don't agree with him, he left that out. What is he trying to say? Please stay tuned for part two. But I will end with this, because I thought this was so good, by Paul Carter, and we'll end with this. The Bible does not command divorce. It permits, regulates, and limits divorce. The Bible allows divorce in certain situations, and we're going to talk about that next week, because of the hardness of human hearts. Hard hearts cause people to persist in sin, and hard hearts makes it hard to forgive others. But becoming a Christian is about getting a new heart. Amen. A new heart, a soft heart filled with the Holy Spirit. Such a heart is capable of change in the direction of Jesus Christ and is capable of forgiving a brother or sister of even the most grievous of sins. Pastor, but what about in an abusive situation? Stay tuned. Hold your horses. We will get there. But I really love how Paul Carter summed up what we've covered so far and the ability, the supernatural ability of our hearts once we experience the love and forgiveness of Jesus, what that means and its implications in all of our lives and relationships and in our difficult marriages. And so with that, I hope we'll pause. Please come back next week or at least watch online as we take this initial introduction. I hope that this is helpful and they begin to specifically look at, so what did Jesus mean by adultery and its implications in divorce, our marriage, remarriage. So I will do my best to address this as we regather for next week. With that, will you join me in a word of prayer as we invite the worship team to come and as we close out for our morning service. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words that speak life to us in a world, a culture and time where all the rules seem to be rewritten according to what is right or wrong in our own eyes. And I pray, Father, for those who are struggling in their marriages, for those who have been through the challenge of divorce, for those of us who have never been married, Lord, these truths are so important for us to hear, to absorb, and to live by. I pray that as we have launched into a very important and sensitive topic, that that you would grant us your Holy Spirit to give us humility and wisdom to hear what you have to say to us today. So we leave with hope, and we thank you, Lord, for your care and love for us, no matter what we have been through, marriage, divorce, singleness in our lives. We give you thanks that you care for us and you have a plan of flourishing for our lives, no matter what. We hold on to that, Jesus. In your name we pray.